Welcome to Parents' Perspective. John and Doris were at their wits' ends. They had just finished visiting their fourth daycare center, and they still had no idea where they should enroll two-year-old Timmy. One place seemed too dark, with too little open play space. One had a very loving teacher, but she seemed overwhelmed with the number of children in her care. In one center, it seemed as though the entire staff had difficulty speaking clear English. And the last place just looked so regimented, with all the kids lining up for nearly every activity. Doris put her head in her hands. "Maybe this going back to work idea wasn't so good," she sighed. "Well," John offered, "what do you think about asking your mom?" "Oh, I couldn't impose on her time like that," Doris replied. "One of my partners has his kid in a co-op," John added. "Maybe I could ask him how that works." "Oh, maybe this was just not supposed to be," Doris sniffled. "I just don't know what's best anymore." From a parent's perspective, what should we know to help us through the childcare muddle? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has empathy for all of our predicaments as parents in today's busy world, and he's trying to help us work out what is best for our families. Dr. Stanley I. Greenspan, noted psychiatrist, is clinical professor of psychiatry, behavioral science, and pediatrics at George Washington University Medical School, and a practicing child psychiatrist. Founder of 0-3, the National Center for Infants, Toddlers, and Families, Dr. Greenspan is also former director of the National Institute of Mental Health's Clinical Infant Development Program and Mental Health Study Center. He has been a presidential advisor on child care and has also testified before Congress on behalf of family issues, including developmental and learning disorders. Dr. Greenspan has written and edited over 30 books, including Building Healthy Minds, The Challenging Child, Playground Politics, and The Irreducible Needs of Children, which he wrote with Dr. T. Barry Brazelton. The Greenspans have two children in college and graduate school. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Greenspan.
Nice to be with you.
In your new book, The Four-Thirds Solution, Solving the Child Care Crisis in America Today, you stress that there are major problems with child care and or daycare. We also spoke with you about this when The Irreducible Needs of Children was first published, and we really need you to clarify, what is the crisis?
Well, the crisis is that more and more families are using out-of-home care. Since the 1970s, we've had an escalation in the number of families. So now approximately half of children are in out-of-home care, or even a little bit more. And recent studies show that 90% of out-of-home care is not considered to be of high quality, especially for infants, toddlers, and very young preschoolers.
That's
a
high percentage.
It's a very high percentage not to be of high quality. So most of the kids are in care that's not considered to be of high quality. So if you're a parent who can provide high-quality care yourself, you have to really think about your options very, very seriously. A lot of parents are being misled to believe that it's okay and that the care in daycare will be as good as their care, even if they can provide high-quality care at home. But that is clearly not the case, at least for most parents. Now, given what's happening in the early years, the kids are learning to be trusting and intimate. They're learning to communicate. They're learning to think. They're learning to be creative. They're learning to have empathy for others. All these major foundations of our intelligence and our emotional and social skills are being laid down. Can we afford to have 90% of kids not in high-quality care, a large percent where the parents could provide high-quality care themselves?
Just occurred to me, do you think young parents think that the child care providers are more qualified or more capable than the parents themselves?
Some parents who are very anxious and insecure thoroughly believe that others can do it better. What happens with parenting, which is very interesting, is that it's a learned skill. We jump in the water and we learn on the job. But if we don't learn on the job, if we don't overcome our anxieties and our insecurities, we won't get better at it. So like every other occupation or vocation or field, you've got to be down in the trenches to learn your craft. And parenting is no different. Now, some parents are very depressed or overstressed, or it's a very dysfunctional family. And there they might find that the help of full-time daycare is very, very useful and very valuable as they reorganize their lives and reorganize their families. But many parents are capable of providing high-quality care, particularly with the help of their own extended family, if they jump in the water and do it. And that's what we have to begin advocating as a new family ethic. We can't let the kids get lost any longer because we have both parents wanting to work and we have the needs of the children. We have to find a way to meet the needs of the children and the occupational goals and career goals of both parents.
So to start with the minimal needs of the children, what is the minimal amount of time that you think parents really need to spend with their children?
Well, when we talk about minimal amount of time, in the Irreducible Needs book, we advocated that about two-thirds of a baby's waking time should be some type of interaction with parents. Some of that direct interaction, playful games like peekaboo games and the like. Others could be indirect interactions. You take the baby or, let's say, the preschooler with you to the store to buy groceries, and they help you take things off the shelf. Or you are doing the laundry and they hand you things. And you can work on identifying colors and all kinds of interesting things while they're handing you the green thing or the blue thing or the, you know, the yellow thing, etc. So that's a great learning opportunity for kids to have fun. So there's both direct and indirect interaction. We don't want children on their own, you know, watching TV or in a playpen playing by themselves for absolute max a third of their waking time. We would really like it considerably less. Now, we want parents with their children two-thirds of the time. That's why we advocate what we call the four-thirds solution. In the four-thirds solution, if both parents want to work full-time, they each work two-thirds time. Collectively, that gives them four-thirds of an income. That leaves two-thirds of their collective time available for direct child care. Only one-third of the time then has to be in the care of someone else. Now, that's much, much better than 30-plus hours a week for a child, a baby or toddler in child care. So that's what we're advocating. We want two-thirds of the time with mommies and daddies.
Mm. It's a tough order, though, for some families. The parents, for example, who have no choice, either single parents or two parents who have to work full-time just to manage to feed, house, and clothe their family at the most basic level. What do we say to those parents?
For the parents who must work, two parents who need to put food on the table and need both incomes to really make ends meet, or a single parent who needs to do the same, there we need to do two things. Provide better quality daycare, out-of-home care. Now, my hope is if less families are using daycare, the federal subsidies, community subsidies, business subsidies can raise the quality of daycare so we can offer everyone high-quality care. Number two, those families need to take advantage of every minute in the evening. Take the child with you in the kitchen while you're cooking and chit-chat as you're cooking. Make sure the child is with you when you run your errands. So the child senses you're spending as much time as possible and they're getting a lot of you in the evening. So make good use of your evening times, but also find the best quality care you can. And as a country, we need to provide that care.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on child care.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Stanley Greenspan about child care and daycare. What do you think is the biggest pitfall for parents in the daycare process?
Well, the biggest pitfall for parents is that they get themselves in a situation of unrealistic expectations where there's too many demands on them. So I've seen family after family that should have lots of choices, very successful, well-educated, you know, parents who have lots of career options. And the world should be their oyster. But instead, they're basically, their eyes are too big for their tummies, so to speak. They want to do everything full time. They want to have a wonderful family. They want to both be busy lawyers who work for demanding private law firms that are going to keep them working till 8 or 9 at night. And they don't sit down and say, is this going to be a self-defeating operation? Are we overdoing it? And when you overdo it, nothing works. So I see families that should have everything and should be relaxed and be able to balance their lives, instead in frantic motion all the time, not enjoying anything, not enjoying their careers, not enjoying their children, not enjoying family life. So there are stressed marriages, there are stressed children, and career performance is not so good. So that's what we're seeing, because we're not preparing new parents for being parents. We need to have courses, starting in really in grade school, but certainly in the high schools and colleges, on what's involved. They need to understand the needs of children, the development of children. You know, we teach the development of other living things, you know, frogs, and but we don't teach enough about human development so that people get into this without a really clear picture of what's involved. So we need to help our future parents plan and prepare better.
It is an amazing example that you give, you know, that we really don't prepare parents. That's one of the reasons that this program is on the air, because we're trying to offer parents as many opportunities as we can to be educated about parenting. In the four-third solution, I think one of the things that you've done that is helpful to future parents as well as young parents now is give examples of families and how they worked out their problems in terms of hours. And I noticed that several of them decided we need a smaller house, we don't need as many vacations. They made choices about material things.
That's absolutely true. In the four-third solution, one of the main goals is to make compromises, not to try to have it all. And that means giving up a new car or a fancy vacation so you have more time with the family, more time with the kids. Make priorities for yourself. What comes first? First is time with the children, time with each other. Then comes fancy vacations or dinner out. And it's those priorities that count. If you make your priorities clear, you'll begin scheduling yourself in a more balanced way, in a more appropriate way.
What are some of the important factors parents should know about daycare today? How is it different in the way it operates from a decade ago, say?
Daycare today is not so different than a decade ago. We haven't made serious inroads into improving daycare. In fact, recent studies of parents who were helped to go back to work, who were on welfare, and therefore had to put their children in daycare, show that the daycare for those families, and often these were very poor families, obviously, was very, very weak. Toddlers were aimlessly wandering around the daycare center. It was among the lowest of the observed daycare, and the range is considerable. So we're not doing well. As much as we've talked about it, we haven't made serious inroads into improving daycare for the majority of families. Certain businesses have created model programs. Sometimes hospitals or universities create model programs where there are better ratios. Instead of four babies to a caregiver, there may be two or three babies to a caregiver. But these are the rare exceptions to the rule. By and large, we're not doing a good job.
In this context, what guidelines would you suggest for parents when choosing child care arrangements?
Parents need to look at basic fundamentals. One, look for a safe and secure place. Two, look for a place where the caregivers are very nurturing. That means they have to be on the job for a long time. You can't have caregivers changing every 3 or 4 months because then the children lose a nurturing person. So nurturing means consistent nurturing. The caregivers have to be able to read the baby's signals and respond empathetically. They have to be able to shift with the child as the child's developmental needs change and know what type of interactions to do with different age children. Peekaboo games with an 8-month-old, pretend play with a 2, 2.5-year-old. They need to understand how to set limits and guide children without being punitive. They need to know how to work with parents as a collaboration. They need to have in-service training so they're constantly improving their skills. They need to have a salary structure which keeps them on the job and helps them feel good about what they're doing, and that when they learn and improve, they can rise in that particular salary hierarchy. So these are some of the fundamentals that you need to look for. But the fundamentals are hard to find. It's hard to find a safe, secure place with nurturing caregivers who stay on the job for a long time, who are good at reading the baby's cues and can shift with the baby developmentally. I mean, that's what makes for good parenting, and that's what makes for good caregiving.
From what we have heard before in talking to people about daycare, it's very uncommon. I don't think we've heard a single example of a daycare provider or daycare, the caregiver herself or himself, moving along with the child as the child gets older. The child moves to a different class.
Well, that's another problem with daycare, is that even if the nurturing care is good, for example, in the first year of life, the children will lose that caregiver as they move from the infant room to the toddler room. And I've advocated keeping the same caregivers with the children because that's closer to what we do in a family, and we don't want loss. If a child is spending 35, 40 hours a week, that person is spending more time with that baby than the mommy or daddy. We don't want a loss at the end of the first year.
It makes a lot of sense, and I'm wondering why it's apparently too complicated for these places to do that.
It's really not too complicated. Some places have done it, but it's more complicated than the other way around. But it can be done. You can, you know, have the one caregiver who moves with the children who becomes the primary caregiver, and then the other caregiver could be age-specific. And it can work, and you can add new children onto the group as the group expands when you take in your toddlers or your preschoolers.
What do you say to people who constantly say, well, you know, you're not giving kids enough credit. Kids are really resilient.
Well, children are resilient if we provide them with the right nurturing care. The best-known study of resilience showed that what we call resilience is really children who have good relationships early in life. So there's a group of children on one of the Hawaiian Islands who were at risk economically and at risk in terms of family structure. But the kids who did the best were the kids who found a relationship. It might have been with a neighbor or a grandparent or an aunt. And those early nurturing relationships is what helped the kids be resilient. So it's not something that's just part of the nervous system. It's really part of a relationship that involves the child's nervous system, involves the caregivers available to the child, and involves their interactions. There was a study done in Mexico, for example, where the children who were more low in their muscle tone and slower developmentally turned out to be, quote, the more resilient ones in this poor Mexican village. And why? Because the mommies spent more time with the vulnerable children, spent more time feeding them, and spent more time nurturing them because they felt they needed more. So they turned out to do better than the kids who physically were more robust at the beginning. Again, showing the importance of the relationship and that the simple definition of resilience, a kid who looks more robust, may not turn out to be the long-term predictor of resilience.
That's a really interesting study. We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on child care.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Stanley Greenspan about child care and daycare. Dr. Greenspan, what is the four-third solution? Would you clarify that a little further for us, and why do you consider it so essential today?
Well, as we were discussing, the four-third solution means that if both parents want to work full-time, they each work two-thirds time, hence four-thirds collective employment, leaving two-thirds of their collective time for the care of their children. And then the children only have to be in out-of-home care for about a third of their time. Now, there are many versions of the four-third solution. One parent can work a third of the time, the other full-time. They can take turns in their careers, one working full-time for 2 years, then the other working full-time for 2 years, while the other one stays at home with the children. The idea is not to let the kids get lost. And any pattern that a family wants to work out is great, from my point of view, and constitutes a four-third solution, as long as the kids are getting their needs met while the career needs are being met of the parents.
So parents need to go to their employers and say, let's think outside the box. How can we come up with a creative solution here?
Precisely. Everyone needs to think outside the box. And it's in everyone's interest because the business community needs future workers who will be well-nurtured because they'll be more intelligent and better socially.
So the outcome is excellent all around, we hope.
That's right.
Why do you think the child care crisis has essentially been ignored?
I think the child care crisis has been ignored because it's a frightening and overwhelming challenge. And if you look back into the 70s, when we began this sort of massive social experiment, the idea was to, in part, free parents up, especially mothers, to join the workforce. And people have been worried about losing hard-fought rights for women for gender equality. That's why in the four-third solution, we want it to be gender equal. We want both parents sharing in the care of the kids and both parents sharing in the work if both parents choose to do that. But if one parent wants to stay home, and it could be daddy who stays home, that's great also. And if mommy wants to stay home, that's wonderful also. So we're not advocating both parents have to work. We're saying if they choose to, we want it to be gender equal. But the fear of losing gender equality was one motivating force. So it became politically incorrect to talk about child care because it meant putting, quote, women back in home, not fathers, you know, at home. Number two, because of the hard-fought gains in gender equality, what was a prescribed role in terms of taking care of kids became now a conscious choice. We weren't locked into these defined roles anymore. And whenever you have to make a conscious choice, you have to use a lot more wisdom. It's easier to get into hot water. But it's a much more adaptive way of coping to make conscious choices. So we've been learning over the last 30 years about the difficulty of taking something that was set in stone with prescribed roles and now making conscious choices out of it so each family can do it in their way. And the four-third solution is to help us make those conscious choices more effectively. So I think we wanted to look the other way. We wanted to bury our heads in the sand. It's an overwhelming challenge. And the fact that this experiment has not worked well, that we haven't produced high-quality care for the majority of kids, is something we just don't want to look at.
How can government and corporations, businesses, help to make this four-third solution work?
Well, businesses and the government have to work together in a couple ways. The government needs to create incentives, tax incentives to business to promote flexible work options with part-time work options, with flex time and the like. Businesses have to embrace the family. More businesses should have daycare on premises for those families that absolutely must have that option available to them, or even for using it just part-time. The people who will drive this, who will get business and government working towards these goals, are you and me and every other family in the country. It has to be, I believe, a grassroots effort to give it political wham power. And to get a political wham, we've got to get parents concerned about this. And once they're concerned, I think their senators and their representatives will work on their behalf. But otherwise, it won't happen. So I think families have to lead the way. Then we need federal incentives. We need businesses that realize that tomorrow's workers are today's children, and we've got to all work together.
How does the American mindset need to change in order for the four-third solution to work?
Well, the American mindset needs to reinvest in the importance of human relationships. We've kind of drifted away from what got us here. What made human beings capable of all the wonderful things they're capable of is our family structure, our relationships, because they nurture the brain and the mind in the early years and throughout childhood and adolescence. If we pull away from relationships because of getting too busy, because we become too technology dependent, then we lose our essential humanness. And that's what I see as the larger issue here. In giving up the care of our own kids, I think we're giving up an essential piece of our humanity and eroding a real foundation of what makes human beings human. So I think we have to reinvest in relationships, reclaim the care of our children, and that means a new family ethic.
We really have to put our children ahead of our financial well-being.
Well, we have to. We can often do both if we're not too greedy and if we're not too excessive. In other words, we have to create a balance. For many families, it's really not giving up their financial goals. They can often achieve reasonable financial goals while still taking care of their kids. The idea is to put the kids first, make the finances work as best you can. And in those situations where you can't, where you have to put food on the table, obviously that comes first.
What resources would you suggest for parents who want to know more and who might want to get involved in advocating for these kinds of solutions?
Well, there's all kinds of resources. I'd start with a four-third solution, which lays out the issues and lays out the policy issues. And we have some organizations listed in the back of the book that may be helpful for parents. There's another organization, Mothers at Home, that has a website, and it's really about parents at home now. It's no longer just mothers at home. And they have wonderful information about support groups and about magazines and things. Also, there are bills before Congress around parental leave, around family issues. So everyone needs to be aware of what's going on in Congress. They ought to be writing their local congressman and ask what their attitude is about family concerns and what they're doing around child care and daycare and supporting family flexibility.
Your representatives need to really represent your viewpoint.
Yeah, and find out from them what their attitudes are and what they're working on in Congress. And also just check in general through the internet on these issues. You know, plug in the words families and child care and see what pops up.
Well, we're all so glad that Dr. Stanley Greenspan has popped up and been able to help us understand the problems parents face today a little bit better and to give us some ideas on how we can get some grassroots support going for changes in our child care policies. Thank you so much, Dr. Greenspan.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'll leave you with the thought that we can have children who do better and better if we do two things, if we give more and we expect more. But we can't expect more without giving more. And the giving is our relationships and our warmth and our nurturance, and it has to be by parents at least a good chunk of the time.
Thank you. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. On the website, you can see a list of all the shows that we've done and all the guests we've had. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.